Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. How are you holding up? How are you hanging in there in the midst of all of this social distancing and stay-at-home policies and all that sort of thing in the midst of this pandemic that is sweeping through our world? Yeah, it is cutting us off from the body of Christ, cutting us off from the life-giving Eucharist and the other sacraments as well. And I know it's a hard time. It is a time of bearing suffering, not only our own suffering, but the sufferings of others. And it is somewhat Lenten appropriate, is it not? And especially as we are entering into Holy Week this week, it is probably very appropriate there that we're walking perhaps the stations of the cross with Jesus in a little different light, in a little different perspective, as we walk with him in the midst of suffering, our own suffering, whether that be actual physical suffering on behalf of some of us who are ill or who have contracted the virus, or maybe who are experiencing other health problems in the midst of it and having a hard time getting the care that's required because of the virus and those treating the virus. Some of us are suffering in terms of our own fatigue. And I know specifically those of you who are in the healthcare field, thank you so much for everything that you are doing in the midst of this crisis. And I do pray that the Lord would give you his strength to continue that way as well. And also, some of us are suffering just because we are, and perhaps that is, in some ways, the greatest suffering of all, right? That we are cut off from receiving the Eucharist, receiving the sacraments, and receiving that nourishment of the Lord. But that doesn't mean the Lord has abandoned us. Let us always remember that, especially as we enter into Holy Week. Remember, it was his disciples, save one, that abandoned him, and in the midst of his suffering. But he will never leave us or forsake us. He promises us that at the end of Matthew's gospel, and he will continue to hold true to that, that although we may not be able to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are still in the midst of his spiritual presence, and we can receive him spiritually, and we can receive him through his presence in the Word as well. And so I was just reflecting a little bit as it is Palm Sunday, the Lord's Passion, this weekend. And, of course, we'll hear the entire Passion narrative. But it's also, you know, we get to hear at the beginning of Mass, we get to hear the gospel from the procession with psalms. And the crowd gathered around waving their palms in the air. Yeah, procession with palms. But it is actually a procession with psalms as well, because as they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they are quoting from Psalm 118. That's what they're doing, and they're reading that out. And I would challenge you to go maybe even this Sunday, whether you're listening on Sunday or listening anytime this weekend, sometime this weekend, take some time and just read through Psalm 118. It is entirely appropriate for the current situation we find ourselves in, as so many of the Psalms are. Here's just a few verses from that. In danger I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is with me. I am not afraid. What can mortals do against me? The Lord is with me as my helper. I shall look in triumph on my foes. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to put one's trust in mortals. And it goes on a little bit later to say that I was hard pressed and falling, but the Lord came to my help. The Lord, my strength and my might, has become my Savior. And this same psalm, which is quoted by the people waving their palms around the Lord as he makes his triumphal entry, is the one that includes that well-known verse, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad." Now, bearing up in the midst of suffering, whatever your suffering may be, would certainly doesn't mean that you have to be, bubbly. It doesn't mean that you have to be that you are feeling so buoyed up. However, if we give ourselves over to the Lord and we put our trust in Him, we will experience the joy of the Lord deep down and underneath it all. And you know, a good way to get that going is to make sure that you are giving during this time as well, giving to others, helping bearing not only our own suffering, but bearing the burdens of others, helping others in the midst of their suffering as well. And if I may, no one put me up to this, folks, but if I may, I do want to encourage you, if you have not already done so, please continue to give to your parish, give financially to your parish. Parishes are suffering greatly in this time because of the lack of the collection. But remember that part of our giving, it's actually a liturgical act to give of our resources to the Lord. That's why we so oftentimes have the procession with the offering, the gifts of the bread and the wine at the time of the Eucharist, or the wine and the water at the time of the Eucharist, that they are brought forward, right? And that they are given. We are meant to give all of ourselves in that as well. And we do that symbolically by also giving of our financial resources. So please, 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 if you have not yet done so, please do give to your parish. And even in that, if you make that a prayerful act, if you make it as it is, a liturgical act, I do believe you will experience some of that joy of the Lord, which, as we know, Scripture tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we all need strength in this time. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged that you're still listening to Relevant Radio. That's a good thing. I'm hoping that you're finding lots of ways to interact with the Lord in this time of scarcity, sacramental scarcity, if we can call it that. All right, we've got a wonderful show on tap for us today, but I tell you what, let's just get into it. I see I've gone a little long, so let's offer our prayer to the Lord, offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, and we'll jump right in with our first guest. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest joining me is Father Chris Alar, who's a priest with the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. He wrote and produced the popular Divine Mercy 101 DVD. He's also the author of the best-selling book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and for You. And he's a regular host and guest on EWTN. He hosts the online Divine Mercy Matters series at divinemercymatters.org. And he is also the director of the Association of Marian Helpers. He's the head of Marian Press, located on the grounds in the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Father Alar, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Nice to talk with you again.
Good to talk with you as well. Well, we're going to talk about specifically one of the things I want to ask you about right away is about the Fatima movie. But let's just before we get into that, just in case our people are unfamiliar with the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, can you give us just a brief overview of the Marian Fathers?
Sure. We are who you would not expect God to select for an important mission, but we've been entrusted by the Church to spread the message and devotion of Divine Mercy as given to Saint Faustina, and our priest brought it to the United States, and it's been spreading around the world ever since. And our Lord told Saint Faustina that mankind's last hope of salvation is Divine Mercy, and that's who we are.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so let's talk, obviously, the Divine Mercy, and there's so many things that we can learn from and learn about and grow in devotion to in terms of the Divine Mercy. But you're spreading this devotion, and you've also, one of the ways is through this new movie, Fatima. Introduce us to the movie.
Yes, this right now is a time that even the movie companies in Hollywood are waking up to the realization of the importance of faith-based education, but most of all, spiritual-based outreach. If you look back even recently, the success of the movie that we produced, co-produced, Love and Mercy, they gave it one night in the movie theaters, and it was incredible of what that movie did in the few limited days it was given. In fact, it was the second highest grossing movie in the United States behind The Joker that evening.
Wow.
Wow. And they brought it back for multiple showings. So
sure.
we want to get people out to realize that the faith-based movies are important, and Hollywood will take a listen if we can get those numbers. So this movie, Fatima, is just absolutely, from what the reports are and what people are saying, is incredible. In fact, the producer, Dick Lyles, he hosts on EWTN. He's calling it the best Catholic movie since Passion of the Christ. And
wow,
when you really read about what it involves, you can see why, because our everything ties together in this past century that we ever experienced in Fatima and Divine Mercy, and now it being revealed in many ways through what's happening with this crisis with the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the movie was scheduled to come out April 24th. It has now been moved to August the 14th.
Okay.
So we would like people to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was certainly going to ask you about that. And so the movie has been moved to August the 14th. So can you tell us more about, I've looked at the preview of the movie, and it mm-hmm. looks like it's very well, very professionally done. It looks like as much as we know, I assume it's a pretty realistic portrayal of not just the apparitions, but of the town's, shall we say, doubtful response?
Right. And you know what's interesting about it, Patrick, is the fact that at this point in history, this was in the middle of World War I.
Right.
The Spanish flu epidemic was sweeping the world. And what's interesting is the world was engrossed in fear more than almost any other time in human history because of the raging World War I, because of the influenza epidemic. And yet here comes Our Lady. Now, if you look at our similar times right now, we're in the same boat. We're living in this tremendous fear. And remember, Satan has three tools. His three tools start with pride. We saw that in the garden, he played on our pride as human beings. That was the cause of the fall. But Satan's second great tool is fear. And so fear is why our Lord focuses in the word of Holy Scripture. Do you know, be not afraid, which was John Paul's very first word spoken as he was honored to be the first to be elected the Pope, was be not afraid. But you know, be not afraid is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. Mm. So one for every day of the year, if you will. But our friends at the International World Apostolate of Divine Mercy, or of Fatima, have been working to help spread this message of this movie. And this beautiful group of people that are spreading the importance of getting out the understanding of Mary, they've launched a crusade to hopefully gather 5 million rosaries. Mm-hmm. These 5 million rosary prayers, if you go to World Rosary 2020, it is a very powerful opportunity to offer up what we're calling a spiritual bouquet. And we're teaming up, us Marian Fathers are teaming up with this International World Apostolate of Fatima and the Children of the Eucharist, who really focus on the message of Fatima. And the World Rosary 2020 is a way for you to pledge rosaries, chaplets of Divine Mercy. Go to that website, and we're going to offer a spiritual bouquet at Our Lady's feet on May 13th and on October 13th in the actual shrine at Fatima, which
nice.
Is totally being brought and opened up by the by Father Carlos, who is the rector there. So it's important that we get this message out.
Absolutely. Again, that website is World Rosary 2020, so worldrosary2020.org, right?
Yes. That is correct. It's worldrosary2020.org.
Nice. So what are some of the fruits that you hope this movie, or that you foresee this movie bearing in and amongst our church, but also amongst society in general?
Well, I think as we looked at this, what makes this movie different, there's a lot of religious movies out there. First of all, when you look at just the pure production side of it, the script, I had a chance to look at that a little bit, is stunning. The cinematography is fantastic. The soundtrack, supposedly, many people are saying is at a level that no other movie, a religious movie like this, has ever achieved. Basically, we're being told by many, many people, they're blown away from the pre-screenings that they've seen. And so to call it the best Catholic movie since The Passion of the Christ is a big shoe to fill.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think if there's one that's going to do it, it's this movie.
What do you think, since we're called the Rediscover Hour and we're all about helping perhaps fallen away Catholics or lapsed Catholics and rediscovering the riches of the Catholic faith, is this a movie that would be appropriate to bring a fallen away Catholic to?
Yes, and the reason why is our world right now, what is Satan's big angle in this day and times is he's not turning heads and projectile vomiting. He wants you to think he doesn't exist.
Mm.
He really wants you to believe that there is no consequences to our sins. That's how he traps us. What's going on in the world right now with the coronavirus is an awareness that there is a consequence. Now, this doesn't mean God is punishing us, particularly beating us down because he wants to do this. In God's ordained will, he doesn't want the coronavirus or the effects of it, like the death that comes from it. But in his permissive will, he allows it. Now, why does he allow it? Why would a good and loving God? Well, there's many reasons. We have free will. God took a risk when he gave us that free will that we would, turn our back on each other, not love him. But most of all, he wants to bring a greater good. Now, what possible greater good could come out of this? A greater good. In fact, Patrick, here's an interesting little tidbit. Do you know the Chaplet of Divine Mercy in the 1940s was called the Corona of Mercy?
No, I did not know that. Interesting. Okay.
We were sent a prayer card from the 1940s. We didn't even have it in our archive here at the Marian Fathers. And we received this prayer card, and we consulted our older priests, and they said, yes. Back in the 1940s, we called it a Corona of Mercy.
Wow.
And I said, that's fascinating. Well, Corona in Latin means crown.
Right.
And the fact that our Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, only he wears the crown. What's happened in our modern world, and it started with a warning at Fatima, Mary made it very clear not to fall into this materialism of the modern world. This was a danger. Well, what happened? We haven't been listening. And so what's become our crowns, meaning our gods, has become sports, and I'm guilty of that. I'm a huge sports fan. But sports are canceled. Money has become our god. But look at the erratic stock market plunging and surging. It's just erratic. It's not stable. It's not what is our god. Entertainment. Restaurants are closed. Bars are closed. Entertainment is not the crown of God the God that we should crown. What truly is Jesus Christ. Now, in this awareness of waking up to see that only Jesus Christ is our true God, only he is the king, only he wears the true corona, we see how that is brought to us through the gift of Our Lady. And Jesus promised that the world would be ushered in her Immaculate Heart. Through her words at Fatima, we know that Jesus said there will come a time of the ushering in of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. This movie brings it all together. How? Well, first of all, it brings an awareness that there is a Satan. There is an evil that is out there that is declared war on humans, because we're in the image and likeness of God. Satan knows he can't bring down God, but he can bring down those of us who are in the image and likeness of him. But at the same time, in the worst time of human history up until then, the World War I was raging in 1917. Margaret Sanger opened up the first birth control clinic in New York. She produced a movie, believe it or not, called Birth Control, which was so scandalous. She was jailed for 30 days. The Judeo-Masonic bankers took their first country in Russia. Spanish flu was raging, which two of the three seers ended up dying from. The world was a mess. And what happened? Here comes Our Lady. Now, in the meantime, our Lord then brings divine mercy to prepare the world for his final coming. And then at the end, the two come together. This is why we Marian fathers, our charism is Mary and Divine Mercy. And that's why I joined them. I joined them because I knew that the two essence of, you know, on Mary TV, I have a good friend, Dennis Nolan, and he said, Jesus or God's two sleeves, he has an ace up each sleeve, Mary in one, Divine Mercy in the other. And right now, Divine Mercy, preparing the world for our final coming, this final coming won't happen without the gift of Our Lady and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And that's what is, I believe, this is just me personally, this is what the world is being prepared for.
Wonderful. Well, just in our closing minute or so here, Father, I want to make sure that we hit how people can stay up to date and how they can view the trailer. What is the website for the movie itself?
Yes, you can see, you can actually get the link right from worldofrosary2020.org.
Oh,
there's a link right there. So please check it out. They have the trailer on there and all the information that you need to know. And please, while you're there, think about pledging some rosaries and chaplets of Divine Mercy, prayers for the Holy Father. And we're trying to do a spiritual bouquet, as I said, to place at the feet of Our Lady in Fatima on May 13th and again on October 13th. Why are we doing that, Patrick? Because Our Lady said, if we do this, she will intervene in human history. If we come before her, we bring these prayers, we bring these penances, so we're trying to raise awareness, bring it to her feet, so she'll intervene in human history.
All right, wonderful. And just to reconfirm, although originally set to release April 24th, that's been pushed back now to August the 14th. Have I got that right?
That is correct. August the 14th in theaters. They're right now talking about 1,000 theaters across the country, so please look for it. Also, you can see on our website at thedivinemercy.org opportunities to get the images of our Blessed Mother and especially Divine Mercy to place on your door. And we posted a video, Patrick, that also shows how you as the laity can make a blessing on the image of Divine Mercy by law of the Catechism.
Oh,
on
great.
Our site, thedivinemercy.org, you'll see that video right on the lower left side, down on the lower left.
Wonderful. Well, Father Chris Aylar, we appreciate you being on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for all the information, and God bless you and all the work that you continue doing. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you, and God bless you and your listeners.
All right. So, yep, check out that website. Check out certainly worldrosary2020.org and find out more about the movie Fatima. Take a look at the trailer. I think you're going to be impressed. All right. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we've got Father Stan Mader from the Church of St. Joseph in Waconia. He's going to talk about the big fat Catholic wedding. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life.
There are those who hear in the secular media things that fit their agenda, that this Pope wants to change all kinds of ideologies that they have. What I think they're all missing is the change he wants is in us.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
But now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart, show yourself strong.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. My next guest, Father Stan Mader, was the co-director of the Vocation Office from 1994 to 98 and past board member of the National Federation of Priest Councils, and he is currently the pastor of St. Joseph Church in Waconia. He says he enjoys travel and leading pilgrimages, and he plays in an over 50 baseball league. Father Mader, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
It's good to be with you, and I'm just wondering about this over 50 baseball league. How long you been playing in that?
Oh, I probably have been playing in it about 5 or 6 years myself.
Nice.
I'm now well over 60, but I'm hoping that the over 60 league will begin soon.
Yeah, exactly. Is this true? Like it's fast pitch baseball and everything like that?
Oh yes, yeah. Stealing bases, all that.
Yeah, yeah, nice. And what position do you play?
Usually outfield.
Well then that makes you a fast guy.
Well, that's about the only thing I can do. I can't bat and I can't really field.
Oh, well, I hear you. I mean, I was not a fast guy. I was in Little League, so I was always in the infield. So anyway, on to my big fat Catholic wedding
at
your parish of St. Joseph's. All right. Well, first of all, how did the inspiration for my big fat Catholic wedding come about?
Well, it probably in about November, early December, we were trying to figure out who could we have speak at our Cana dinner. You know, many parishes will have some sort of Cana dinner around Valentine's Day. And we were having trouble figuring out who could do this. And, we started thinking, well, we've been to some weddings where there's just been wonderful toasts, and wouldn't it be nice if we could have kind of toasts? And wouldn't it be great if there'd be some sort of participation from people in the parish? And then we started lamenting all these people who get married civilly, but not in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we started thinking maybe we could do something like this. And, of course, we did a takeoff on the movie My Big Fat Catholic Wedding, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this. And we thought, well, if we can get two couples to do this, we could announce it and really run with it. And we later that day, we had a new parishioner join, and we saw that they had only been married civilly. And so we suggested this to them, and they thought it was a great deal. And next day, somebody else called in, and I talked to them about that, and they thought, yeah, we could do that too. So we were off and running, and we finally decided we can do this. And we set a date, and we set a date before that for some marriage preparation.
Mm-hmm.
The actual date of the Big Fat Catholic Wedding was Saturday, February 22nd, which even though it's less than 6 weeks ago, it seems so long ago.
Yeah, it does, right.
and so we did a couple weekends of preparation before that, where people, we talked to them about the sacramental nature and marriage, a little bit about natural family planning, some about other things that are topics that, for these are mostly couples that have been married 10 to 20 years. And a lot of them had done a lot of preparation already, but they had just never pulled the trigger on getting married, getting it blessed in the church because of change of pastors or whatever. So we wound up prepping nine couples. Seven of them were able to make those vows that day. And so we had them all process in. After the homily, they came up individually to take their vows. And then after the whole service, we went across to the school area, and we had a big party. You know, all these couples could invite some people along to join them. And of those seven couples, they had maybe 100, 120 guests. And
wow.
And we had a champagne toast and all this kind of thing for them, a grand march and all this. And then the goal was have the people in the parish support sacramental marriage.
Right.
And
right.
So we filled up the wedding hall, if you will, with parishioners. So another 125 parishioners joined them. So we had 225 people at this celebration of marriage. And I think, you know, we hope other people would say, this is really great to have your marriage blessed in the church,
mm-hmm.
or to have it as the first choice. And so that's what we're working on now.
Right. So why would it be important? I mean, this is a kind of a softball question, I understand, Father, but just in case our listeners are unaware, why is it important if you're only civilly married, if you never got married under the auspices of a Catholic wedding, why is it important to get your marriage validated in the church?
Okay. Well, first of all, the graces of sacramental marriage.
Right.
Here now you have formally invited God into your life together, and you are wanting to make that, you know, as the scripture says, you know, 3-ply cord is not easily torn. You know, mm-hmm. it's when we have your husband, the husband and the wife, and God involved, it makes it very, very strong. And so there's that part. It's, you know, I think a lot of people just don't realize these days that, you know, we take marriage very seriously. You know, it's a lifetime vocation, it's a lifetime commitment, and it is something that we think God probably has some interest in, you know. So let's invite God into it. And so we make it, you know, people should not even receive communion until that is straightened out. Mm-hmm. If they have been married outside the church, let's get that straightened out so you can begin to receive communion again.
Right. Well, I know that it's been a great gift to some of the people that I've seen undergo the validation rite. And although you did it up big, it sounds like, there at St. Joseph's. If people aren't necessarily wanting, because this doesn't necessarily have to be a whole new wedding ceremony, right? No. They're not about like planning photographers and flowers and everything like that. Correct.
In fact, one of the couples, one of the reasons they didn't get married in the church was they just got stressed out mm-hmm. planning a wedding, mm-hmm. and so I said, "Do we have a deal for you?" And, you know, so we took care of all that stuff. And then you find out just how little you can get by with. You know, there are all these accretions that are added to a lot of ceremonies. It just adds expense and takes the focus away from the God part of it. So we had, in a sense, a very simple ceremony. But there are many couples that will get their marriage convalidated, is the technical term, blessed, in the church, just in a little ceremony. Like sometimes this happens just when they have a child to be baptized. And so we will say, okay, let's get your marriage blessed before we do that. And so we might have like a 20-minute ceremony immediately before the baptism or the week before. And it can be a Tuesday night, whenever you're available. And just bring a couple guests, you know, we need a couple witnesses. A lot of times people will bring their parents and maybe some best friends, and perhaps they'll go out to eat afterwards, but that's up to them. We just do a simple ceremony. Let's get this blessed in the church, and then let's move on.
Right, right. Wonderful. But you did have, I've seen the Catholic Spirit article on this, the Catholic Spirit ran a story on this as well, but it looked like the couples that showed up for, the seven couples who showed up for My Big Fat Catholic Wedding, that they were dressed up. It looks like some of the ladies were in white and that sort of thing, yeah. Although that's not necessary. I think it's for the event itself, it's kind of a nice touch for them. But I really wanted to focus in on the parishioners that were there as well. You said one of the main goals was to get the parishioners to support sacramental marriage.
Sure. Yeah.
What kind?
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Marriage is essentially a community event.
Right.
You know, you publish bans for marriage in many places, and it's because it's a community event. Everybody's invited to the marriage ceremony. Maybe not to the reception, but everybody's invited to the marriage ceremony.
Right.
And what you want to do is say, here, we as a community support this.
Mm-hmm.
We are happy that they are making this choice, that they are deciding that the best way they can live their Christian life is to be with this one other person and create a family and all the aspects that come with that. And we want to help them along with that. And so it's a thing to celebrate. That's why we do dress up, they're fun things, they're important things, and we just add a little more to it then.
Yeah, yeah. So any thoughts as to whether or not you'd try doing this again?
We might. Here's the thing. You want to be a little cautious. You don't want to just say, "Oh, well, we'll wait until next time
yes,
to do this."
Correct.
Because you want people to get this rectified right away.
Yeah.
You know, let's do that. But we did get a few more people that are saying, "Well, you know, I really should get my marriage blessed too." Okay, so let's do that sometime. You know, now with coronavirus, we're a little separated from being able to do that, but. But there, you know, I do hope to have some of those things happen in the coming months. Where, you know, to go back to the parishioners, yes, be aware that you have a role in this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just nod and say, well, that's the thing they do. You know, it's something that we're all involved with.
Right.
And so the idea was get them excited about that, have them tell their children and their grandchildren, have them observe it themselves that this is the way things ought to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the great joys I had with this, you know, not only that it was just a lot of fun and a lot of excitement, incredible amount of excitement about this, but the children of the couples, and I'm talking in some cases children who are in college,
mm-hmm.
people who are preparing for confirmation, were so excited that this was happening for their parents. And, and I think what will happen with them is they, yes, let's do this in the church to begin as the first step. And then if we want to have a party somewhere else, great. But
right.
let's do it here first.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, you brought up coronavirus, of course, the thing at the forefront of everyone's minds these days. And like you said, the February 22nd event of my big fat Catholic wedding seems like eons ago now, yeah. it seems.
Yeah.
Any words of encouragement that you would offer the faithful, Father, from your own parish, but also around the Archdiocese in the midst of this extraordinary time?
Yeah. It's a unique opportunity, really. We are having an incredible Lent. You know, we are having one that all these things have been taken away from us, and now let's focus on the Lord. Let's focus on family. Let's focus on what is most important in our lives and start saying, maybe we can get by without all these other distractions that we have in our life. All these events, they're all good things. You know, the various arts, the various sports, the various things that we run ourselves ragged going to. And maybe we can do with a little less of that and enjoy life. We might find people a little more at peace in some way. The phrase I've been using is it's a very interesting and almost exhilarating time to pastor a parish. Because, when Jesus talks about, new wine has to be put in new wineskins, that's what we're doing. We're having to come up with all these creative ways of doing things, whether it's live streaming mass and how do you get petitions in and all that. It's amazing the things that you can do and the community that you can build, the number of people that are viewing the masses we're doing here, just in a little room upstairs in the rectory, because I started this, I was under quarantine and awaiting the results of a coronavirus test. So I've been traveling and had a fever and all this, so I couldn't even go into the church.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of set up a makeshift chapel upstairs in the rectory, and that's where we've been broadcasting or where we've been live streaming from. And, we're trying to build up our community. We're trying to find 100 volunteers to contact 12 households every, once or twice a week.
That's
and
wonderful.
That is something that will continue. We've been seeking ways to create small communities in our parish. How do we get neighborhoods to know and cherish going to church together and that sort of thing? So we're trying to break it down geographically and build up these small communities where they might study scripture together and they might pray together. Who knows? Maybe we have mass in somebody's yard or something once.
Right.
But a lot of things we can do.
Wonderful. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, Father, but it is great to have talked with you. Thank you for your continued work. Thank you for looking out for your parishioners and really all the flock around the Archdiocese. And we hope to talk to you, see you again soon. Take care and God bless.
Okay, thank you. Good to talk.
We're going to head into our next break. We got a special interview coming up after this break. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 Thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
By my side to be everything I'm not. I breathe deep the breath of God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berfum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now on the phone is someone that you will certainly recognize. The Most Reverend Andrew Cousins serves as Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. He was ordained to the priesthood in 1997, and on October 11th, 2013, Pope Francis appointed him as Auxiliary Bishop, our own Auxiliary Bishop, and he was ordained to the Episcopacy on December 9th, 2013, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Bishop Cousins, always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you. Right. Times.
Yeah, about these times. Now, I know there's a couple things we want to talk about for sure, but I guess I'll just start off with, boy, you must have a very unique perspective on the position of the church during these times. What can you tell us? What's going on? What have you seen that gives us hope?
Yeah, well, it's a very difficult time for everyone, and it's a difficult time for the life of the church. You know, it's been very painful for us to have to suspend public masses, as every bishop in the country has had to do. Of course, we are doing it because we want to participate in what we hope is a life-saving activity, you know. But that's been a very difficult thing. But it brings me hope is just the way I see our priests and our people reaching out to each other, finding creative ways that they can share the sacraments in limited ways, share the love of God in profound ways, whether that's online or whether that's happening in parking lots with confessions in parking lots. There's lots of creativity going on that shows that the love of God is actually growing, as it always does in a difficulty.
Right, and it's an incredibly difficult time, I'm sure, as a layperson, and that we don't have the opportunity to receive the sacraments, most particularly, of course, the Holy Eucharist, and it's a time when we're not together with the members of the body of Christ. But we've talked with a couple other priests, but what's your perspective? What's in the heart of priests who are unable to celebrate the masses publicly? What goes on in your mind and heart as you are just doing private masses?
Well, it's a very painful thing, and it's painful because I know that the great desire of the heart of Jesus that everyone would be able to experience his love. And so I have to trust that as the Lord promises, he's giving that love in different ways, ways that I can't see, you know. Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that God's grace is not limited to the sacraments. There's a famous saying in the Catechism that says, God has bound salvation to the sacraments, but he hasn't bound himself. Mm-hmm. And God is capable of giving grace in many, many ways. And he's asking us to trust that he's doing that in this time. But it's very painful because we feel the pain of our people, and we can't be together with them in this moment. And so we have to find other ways to try to let God work. But it doesn't mean God isn't working.
Amen to that. Definitely. And I think trusting in the Lord and in his allowance of this to happen, to go on, but trusting in his abiding presence has been at least somewhat of a comfort to me, certainly. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard about this, about the cancellation of public masses, or the suspension, I should say, of public masses, one of the things that immediately went through my mind was, but what about Holy Week? You know, this is such a profound, it's the culmination of our liturgical year. It's the culmination of our faith, the promises that are bound up in and through the Holy Triduum and that sort of thing. So I was overjoyed, I have to say, when I saw an announcement come through that the Archdiocese is doing something called the Virtual Holy Week Retreat. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, this was a suggestion that came to us, and I thought it was a great idea, which is, can we take advantage of the space and time that people have to allow them to actually enter more deeply into Holy Week, even though they can't attend the liturgies at the church? But can we invite families and people in their homes to make Holy Week more of a retreat-like atmosphere? And so to have more silence, to be more and more time in prayer, and could we provide food and for people's meditation and prayer so that they could enter in more deeply into the mysteries of Holy Week? It's a little bit like we're all hermits this Holy Week, you know, it provides a little bit more of even a monastic feel, but it's the idea of let's set aside at least this week in our homebound state as a real retreat time.
But there's also just with the, you've gotten a number of people with the number of talks that are given, the prayers that are being offered during this Holy Week retreat. It's really set up to walk us through maybe in a new and certainly in a different and hopefully inspiring way to take us through Holy Week from Palm Sunday all the way through into and through the Holy Triduum as well. Why don't you give us a layout of what's going to actually happen during the virtual Holy Week retreat?
Yes, so the idea is to provide both some prayer and some inspiration and to give people a flavor of the Archdiocese in that. And so although people can't leave their homes during this time very easily or are encouraged to stay home, we're going to take them around the Archdiocese. So we're going to begin with Palm Sunday Mass at the St. Paul Seminary. You know, our seminarians have been quarantined for already going on 2 weeks, and no one's going in and out of the seminary, which is why they can still have public, private liturgies, actually. It's just the seminarians, you know, and the priests at the seminary. But they can be together because nobody's sick, and they've been quarantined now for more than 2 weeks. And so so we know that the coronavirus isn't inside, so it allows them to be together and pray. And so they're going to... we're going to have an opportunity to video the Sunday morning Mass. It's even going to be done by some of the seminarians who are tech savvy. No one's coming in or out, so they're going to broadcast it out to us. And so that'll be the opener, and that should be a beautiful Mass because it'll have at least a small one with the seminarians. And then that evening, Archbishop Hebda will give us the opening conference and try to help us enter more into what Holy Week actually means. And then the next day on Holy Monday, we'll broadcast morning prayer at 9 a.m. So every day we'll have something at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., except for the Easter Vigil, which we know can't begin until after dark. But every day it'll be something at 9 a.m., something at 7 p.m., so that our families and other people can tune in at those times to the Facebook Live page that the Archdiocese will be broadcasting from. And so Monday morning, it'll be the Pro Ecclesia Sancta Sisters. These are beautiful religious sisters who live in Bloomington. They actually have the convent that used to belong to the Poor Clare Sisters that was given to them by the Poor Clare Sisters. And there's not too many of them, certainly less like eight of them that are together. And they will broadcast their morning prayer. And we'll also have a little bit of Lectio Divina. That is just some time of silent meditative prayer together on the gospel of the day. And then that evening, we'll have a retreat conference by our Vicar General, Father Charles Lockowitzer, and that'll be at 7 p.m. The retreat conferences will all be broadcast from the cathedral.
Nice.
And then Holy Tuesday, we're going to, for morning prayer, be at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. These are four Dominican sisters who teach at St. Agnes School in St. Paul, and we'll be broadcasting morning prayer from their chapel. Again, followed by a Lectio Divina of that day. And then 7 p.m. that evening will be a retreat conference by Father John Ubel, the rector of the cathedral, also again from the cathedral. Wednesday, we actually had a slight change on Wednesday. St. Paul's Monastery for various reasons isn't going to work, which we had hoped would work. And so we're investigating a couple other religious communities to see where we'll broadcast morning prayer from that day, but it'll follow the same format. And then on Wednesday evening, I will give a retreat conference, really meditating that day on Peter's betrayal and how all of us, in some ways, are like Peter, and how do we deal with that reality, and how do we come to receive more life from the Lord's mercy through our own betrayals. And then on Holy Thursday, morning prayer will be from the cathedral, followed by Lectio Divina, from the St. Paul Seminary again, with the seminarians. And then in the evenings of the Triduum, we'll actually do the Triduum liturgies, from broadcasting them from the cathedral. So at 7 p.m., we'll have Archbishop Hebda presiding at the Mass of the Lord's Supper. My plan is to be concelebrating with him at those liturgies. And then Good Friday morning prayer also from the cathedral, and then Friday evening we'll have the celebration of the Lord's Passion at the cathedral, at which I will preside. And Holy Saturday morning, we will have morning prayer from the cathedral, and then we'll have 8:30 p.m. the Easter Vigil Mass, again with Archbishop Hebda presiding. And then to close it all up, 9:30 a.m. on Easter Sunday, Archbishop Hebda will preside at the Basilica of St. Mary, and they will live stream that Mass as well. So it's actually a beautiful way to kind of bookend the days of Holy Week and to provide some real time for prayer and reflection for people in their homes.
I think it's such an important time, too, to be thinking creatively and thinking, quite frankly, to think pretty quickly, too, to put all these things together. Because, again, it is just the central focal point of our liturgical year, of our understanding of who Jesus is, of the gift of the sacraments and that sort of thing. And I think it's great that the Archdiocese is offering this special opportunity. I guess we should mention the website, archspm.org/holyweek, I believe, is the website where people can find out the schedule and what's happening. And did you say, Bishop Cousins, that the retreat is going to be on the Archdiocesan Facebook page? Is that correct?
Correct. And the links will be there at that website for how to access it. But yeah, it's the Archdiocese of St. Paul Minneapolis Facebook page where we can broadcast through Facebook Live.
Wonderful.
You don't have to have Facebook in order to be able to access the link either.
Oh, very good. Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. So I guess just basically I'll ask again if there's any advice that you have for us as we are sitting on the verge of Holy Week and as we are beginning our entry into Holy Week. Anything encouraging that you would offer on behalf of the bishops and the priests and the deacons of this archdiocese to the faithful? What can we do? And maybe how can we uphold you in prayer as well?
Well, I would just say it's really important to understand that this is a time of grace. Every time of trial is a time of grace. And we know that God promises always to be with us in times of trial. And I can't imagine the trials that many families are going through. Some have lost their jobs. Of course, the children are home from school. And that can be taxing when it's day after day and you're trying now to, you know, be a homeschool family as you're trying to do online things from your school, which so the trials are actually very great right now. But important to remember that God's grace is all present in trials, and we can turn to him and there's more grace available. And so to expect that this is a time that God wants to bless and he wants to draw us deeper together as a people of faith and in our families, actually conscientiously take time during the day as a family to pray the family rosary, to meditate on God's word, to participate in Mass online. One priest I know, I thought it was a beautiful suggestion. He said, you know, as you sit on the couch, light two candles and put them on either side of the TV as you watch Mass.
Right, yeah.
To help you recognize that What we're doing here is actually still quite sacred, even though we're separated. And, you know, thank God actually for the internet, which allows us to have still some possible connections in this time, even though it's not the same.
That's right.
There's a great gift in all this. And so I guess the main thing I would say is there's a great gift in this, and don't miss that gift. Be intentional about how you spend time together in prayer as a family. Tune into this Holy Week retreat. We hope that it's going to really bless you and teach you a little bit about prayer and a little bit about entering more deeply into the mysteries of Christ's death and resurrection.
Sounds great. We only have a few seconds remaining, Bishop. Would you be willing to give us your on-air blessing, please?
Sure. May blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each of you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Cousins, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. All right. Well, there he goes. Lots of great encouragement from Bishop Cousins there. We're going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have even more for you. So stay with us and stay tuned. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. For the latest up-to-date news on COVID-19 and its effects in the Archdiocese, as well as where to view or listen to Mass, please go to archspm.org/COVID-19 without the dash COVID-19. For cancellation details about specific events, please contact the event organizer directly. Paul?
And you can find daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio 7 days a week. Daily Mass at 12 noon with Father Rocky. Divine Mercy Chapel at 3 o'clock with Drew Mariani. Friday, Stations of the Cross with Father Rocky at 3:35. Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
All right, and in case you missed it, everyone's invited to take part in the online Archdiocesan Holy Week Retreat. This week-long virtual retreat begins Palm Sunday with Mass from the St. Paul Seminary and culminates with the Easter Vigil Mass from the Cathedral of St. Paul on April 11th. Each day has two parts. First of all, Mass or prayer at 9 a.m., followed by Lectio Divina. And second of all, evening session at 7 p.m., consisting of conferences from Archbishop Bernard Hebda, Bishop Andrew Cousins, Father Charles Lakowitzer, and Father John Ubel. All the events will be live streamed or recorded and available on archspm.org/Holy Week for all who would like to participate.
And we have a time change coming up. Starting this Saturday, the Rediscover Hour will be heard at 12:30 to make way for daily Mass at noon. Saturday's Rediscover Hour at 12:30 for the time being.
Yep, we'll keep coming to you. In fact, coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, we've got Fariba Ruffid, who will tell us about her conversion from Islam to Catholicism. Also, Karen Schultz and Renee Oakes from Twin Cities Fertility Care will talk about their work with clients. And Archbishop Hebda himself is going to be on to talk about an emergency relief fund, which is set up to help meet the urgent needs of our Catholic community arising from this COVID-19 pandemic. That's what's coming up next time, folks. Been great to be with you. In the meantime, well, stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.